This is the State of Things, broadcasting from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stachow. On September 4th, North Carolina will become the first state to send out mail-in ballots. To date, requests for those ballots are more than 10 times higher than requests at this point in 2016. One projection suggests the state could receive more than 1 million absentee-by-mail ballots this fall. Though state officials have been bracing for the influx since the beginning of the pandemic in March, concern over the mail-in ballot process has risen in recent weeks. This follows reports of some changes with U.S. Postal Service delivery. We'll talk more about that in a moment, but first, some breaking news. North Carolina Republican lawmaker David Lewis pleaded guilty to federal charges related to the use of campaign funds. Yesterday, he resigned his position in the state legislature. WUNC political reporter Rusty Jacobs joins us. Welcome back, Rusty.
Thanks, Frank.
Tell us more about this story that broke yesterday afternoon. What do we know about the charges against David Lewis?
Pretty stunning. David Lewis, and most people will know him as one of the key architects of GOP redistricting efforts over the past decade, resulting in maps that were discarded by federal courts for being unconstitutionally gerrymandered based on both race and extreme partisanship. So the documents filed in Western District Court in Charlotte, Federal District Court, show that prosecutors charged David Lewis with falsely making a false statement to a bank and also filing a false 2018 tax return. And the false statement to the bank all goes to some funds in 2018 that essentially were meant to be campaign funds that David Lewis took from a campaign account and diverted into another account he had created basically for his own purposes. Some of the falsification is that he had named that account NC GOP, Incorporated. It gave the impression that it was related to campaign funds, but it was not. It was his own personal account for which he was the sole signatory authority.
All right, well, let's talk for a minute about Lewis's career, because he's been a state lawmaker since 2003, right?
Right. So in July last month, he had announced that was also unexpected. He announced that he would not run for a 10th term in the state house. That raised speculation about what it could be related to. And then on yesterday, he suddenly announces that he is actually resigning his seat effective immediately. And that coincided with the surfacing of these court documents and the indication that he is entering into a plea with these federal prosecutors. But people should also know he's essentially a struggling farmer from Harnett County. And it looks like some of what happened with these funds in 2018 pertained to personal issues with the cost of maintaining his farming business. And it should also be noted that the court documents indicate he repaid those funds to the Republican Party after he had essentially diverted them for his own personal use. It could be that he was, frankly, trying to cover expenses for a short period and repaying it, kind of creating a loan, but in an unlawful way.
That's right. And he did plead guilty, took a plea deal. So tell us a little bit about the deal and what's the maximum penalty he could face.
Well, the maximum penalty could be years in prison, but the indications are that this is an agreement with prosecutors and the prosecutors won't be seeking anything more than probation or anything more up to maybe 6 months in jail. He looks like he repaid these funds of his own volition. Nonetheless, he did something unlawful. He'll have to pay a penalty. But the fact that he kind of took care of this on his own, it looks like a first-time offense. It may be that he only gets probation in this, but it doesn't look like prosecutors are seeking more than at maximum a five to six month jail sentence.
Now, stepping down now, less than 3 months before the election, what are the implications? Tell us a little bit about that district and what are the implications for the upcoming elections?
Well, the current speaker, Tim Moore, for whom David Lewis was a top lieutenant, has already installed another up-and-coming legislator named Destin Hall, who will take over the chairmanship of that very powerful rules committee that kind of directs all the traffic and determines what bills are moving forward and what aren't in the legislature. This just adds into a lot of the challenges that Republicans are facing this fall. By the way, it should be noted that David Lewis's guilty plea and these charges come right on the heels of the sentencing for Greg Lindbergh, who is a political donor to not just the Republican Party, both parties, but it was caught up in a scandal of trying to influence the insurance commissioner. And that involved Robin Hayes, former congressman and head of the chairman of the Republican Party in North Carolina. So it's adding to a lot of the struggles that North Carolina Republicans are dealing with right now.
And the anxieties as we speak about the election. Interest in mail-in ballots has been skyrocketing this year. We know COVID-19 contributing to that. What are some of the other factors in play here as we talk, take a turn now and talk about mail-in ballots?
Challenges are widespread. The first, just look at the sheer volume that's expected. Already, requests for absentee by mail ballots in North Carolina has far surpassed the total number of accepted mail-in ballots for the 2016 presidential election year, the last election cycle 4 years ago. So you're already seeing indications that predictions that the number of total number of absentee by mail ballots will far surpass previous numbers. Those are all becoming clear. Then on top of that, you've got a president, frankly, who frequently makes fairly baseless claims that absentee by mail balloting or absentee by mail voting could be rife or susceptible to widespread fraud. And then you have an appointee of his who's from Greensboro, Louis DeJoy, the postmaster general, who is suddenly being called before Congress to talk about cost-cutting measures he's putting in place at precisely the time the U.S. Postal Service has to be at its most efficient to handle this flood of absentee-by-mail ballots.
Are you hearing that? You are hearing that from voters as well. Their concerns about that possibility as the election draws closer. Am I right?
Absolutely. Even people who are definitely going to mail absentee opting to vote absentee by mail this year are doing so, A, because they're concerned about crowded polling places during the coronavirus pandemic, but they're doing it despite their own concerns that the Postal Service might not be up to the task. But, you know, there is a clear antidote to some of the concern and fear and a way to avert any issues or doubts a person might have. Casting an absentee by mail ballot does not only have to be done via the Postal Service. So there's an array of ways. First of all, people can return those by mail absentee by mail ballots personally to their county board of elections or to early voting stops during that early voting period from October 15th to October 31st. They can also have them delivered by courier services like UPS or FedEx. And the other thing about the Postal Service is, and this is what elections officials are saying repeatedly, that people need to get their requests in and their completed absentee by mail ballots in as soon as possible. Again, those absentee by mail ballots that were requested are going to start going out as September 4th. As soon as a person gets them, they could fill it out and put it in the mail. And the elections board, the state elections board, is saying October 27th is the absolute final date you should get an absentee by mail ballot in the post for delivery to be on time to be counted. And that's because law requires the absentee ballot needs to be postmarked no later than election day, November 3rd, and has to be received no later than Friday after election day, which is November 6th. And to make all those deadlines, the last absolute date you should put it in the mail is October 27th. But there's a lot of time before that. So again, you could get them in personally, or you could get them in the mail as soon as you're done completing them.
But that is a worry. I mean, the fact, and especially if you're worried about tampering with the Postal Service, which is, you know, why the Postmaster General is testifying today before Congress, concerns that the president is tampering through his Postmaster General, these kinds of concerns. It's not just that it's postmarked. It also has to be received by a certain date, right? I know you said
That's
that,
right.
But
again,
we need to repeat that.
Absolutely. It has to be postmarked by November 3rd. State law allows, though, ballots that are postmarked by November 3rd but received by the Friday after, that is November 6th, the Friday after Election Day, those will be counted.
Now, are there any, you talked about the fact that they don't all have to be mailed in. You can go to your elections office, and is that only during the early voting period? When can you drop off a mail-in ballot personally?
As soon as you have it, and as soon as you complete it, and you're ready to submit it, you can drop it off at your county board of elections. The one-stop early voting sites that are, again, are open October 15th through October 31st, that's another option for dropping off the ballot personally. It should also be noted that the state law allows certain family representatives, a near relative, an immediate relative, to drop off those mail-in ballots on behalf of the voter, and that information is all should be all in the instructions that come with your absentee by mail packet. And again, there's a frequently asked question list right on the State Board of Elections website. That really is the best resource for anybody who has questions, doubts about how to go through the process smoothly and correctly. Call your county board of elections or go to the State Board of Elections website. You're pretty much going to get every question you have answered.
Let's talk about the process itself, because the first thing you have to do is request the ballot, right? So let's talk about where you start, Rusty.
Yeah, you can request your ballot from the State Board of Elections website. You can go to your County Board of Elections. And people, a lot of people have probably noticed they're getting mailers from third party, outside party groups. Center for Voter Information is one that I got. Even the Republican Party is sending out a mailer about absentee ballot featuring President Donald Trump's face. Again, the face of the man who has claimed baselessly, for the most part, that absentee by mail balloting or voting could lead to widespread fraud. Nonetheless, groups are trying to make sure people are in a position to vote absentee by mail if necessary. So any of those mailers, as long as they're unfilled, previously unfilled forms, they can complete those forms and submit them in any of the ways we talked about, in person or by sending it back to your board of elections. That's the way to get started. And again, you can even request an absentee by mail ballot and still opt to vote in person. So state elections officials are encouraging people to go ahead and get those requests in now. Even if you're not 100% sure you're going to cast an absentee by mail ballot, request one now, get it in position to be filled out as soon as possible, and you can still, as long as you don't cast that absentee by mail vote, you can still opt to vote in person.
All right, so your options are open in either case. What about the dropping off? I know we've had a lot of questions about, you mentioned that there are ways that you can drop it off in person. You can fill out the absentee ballot and then drop it off. Are there drop boxes, or do you still have to come in contact with people?
You still have to come into contact with people at the Board of Elections offices. There are not drop boxes, and that's a big issue for voting rights advocates, Democrats in the state legislature. That was a provision they would have liked to see in some recently enacted absentee by mail legislation. Drop boxes are being used in other places, but it was just one that in the negotiations over the eventual legislation that was passed recently, it just didn't make the cut. This was legislation that was mostly bipartisan. All but three Democrats in the state house voted for it. So it's something they couldn't get. But again, the drop boxes were seen as a way of, it was seen as an option for people who were most concerned about coming into close contact with anybody amid the coronavirus pandemic. And also, you know, making it easier for people who might not have easy access to a postal box or a postal office.
What about, we've had some concerns, too, about knowing that your vote is counted. When I go in person, I watch the machine and I can see the number tick up when I slip my ballot into that counting machine. So I know at the very least that machine knows I voted. Is there a way to know that your mail-in ballot is in and being counted?
An important feature of absentee by mail voting this year is a tracking system. It's the first time it's being implemented by state elections officials, and it is an electronic tracking system using a barcode. So once you have your ballot, you complete it, you fill it out, you submit it, whether it's, again, in person or you drop it in the mail, you can start tracking it just like you track a package being sent through a courier service. And that will give you the kind of assurance that people are seeking when they cast their ballot.
And the U.S. Postal Service is not the only acceptable delivery method, right?
Correct. Again, courier services would work. If you feel more comfortable, more secure doing it through a FedEx, DHL, UPS, that kind of service, that's an option.
It's interesting, too, because I know you've talked to a number of people who are still committed to in-person voting, and it's a wide range. Let's hear from some of the people that you have spoken with. Let's start with Juanita Young. She's 74 years old, Black, registered Democrat in Wake County, and she intends to vote in person.
Too many people sacrifice too much for me not to go there and in person cast my ballot.
So that's Juanita, who says that she's going to cast her ballot, and it's for a very principled reason, but also people who have very sort of practical ways of looking at this, like Bob.
To me, it's no different than going in food line and making a purchase of groceries, and probably safer.
Bob Randall, 73 years old, white, registered Republican in Orange County, and he's talking about his plans to vote in person. What are you hearing about that, Rusty?
Yeah, and it's really interesting to point out that those two voters, I mean, in a lot of ways, they're very different, right? Completely different demographics. Bob Randall, white Republican, 73. They're close in age. Juanita Young, 74, Black. And they both electing to vote in person. And by the way, that analogy to going to the grocery store, both of them used that same scenario as an indication that they're safe going. And I'll add, too, Juanita Young said she would crawl if she had to or make sure somebody got her to the polls, but she's got to do it in person. It's that sacred right of casting a vote. And Bob Randall, again, he's not concerned. And I want to go back to what he said. This is important to note for anybody who is ambivalent or uncertain about voting in person. All the resources we're talking about being poured into making sure that absentee by mail voting is secure and efficient, there's a significant amount of resources being poured into make in-person voting safer this year. There are more poll workers being hired. Staff for polling sites is being expanded so that there are assistants to hand out masks to each and every voter that needs one. Pens and styluses individually used. People on staff to wipe down and clean voting booths between each use, sanitizer, plexiglass sneeze guards, space. There will be elections assistants whose job it is to make sure people stay distant and safely distanced online before they cast their vote. So again, all the resources being poured into absentee by mail voting there are equal amounts of resources being poured into making safe polling sites.
Let's talk about college students as well and about their voting options if their campus, for instance, is not their hometown where they're sort of where their address is. How does this work for them?
Again, you know, the clear message for everybody who wants to cast an absentee by mail ballot in North Carolina is to get it in early. Get the requests in as soon as possible. They're available now. Do it now. And then as soon as you get your ballot, fill it out and put it in the mail as soon as possible if you can't drop it off personally. And as you know, I mean, the UNC and schools in the UNC system are now going to remote learning. They tried in person, didn't work out. So a lot of kids might end up having to go home and be closer to where they would drop those ballots off personally. But the clear message for everybody is to just do it as quickly as possible.
And let's talk about, because it is kind of a process here, so we need to make it clear. First, there's a request for a ballot, and then there's the actual absentee ballot. And so it is kind of a multi-step process. And so, you know, I want to sort of underscore that and ask you to clarify that once again. And also for people who didn't have printers, that was a problem initially, and I wonder how that's been solved. You ask for an absentee ballot, your request is received, then they send it, but it was virtual, and if you didn't have a printer at home, you were in trouble for a while. How's that going?
Right. Well, you can get a physical ballot to fill. Let's start with the request form, that first step. You can get a request form in person at your Board of Elections office, or you can get it mailed to you. You can go to the state board website. My understanding this year, this recently enacted law allows for submitting requests via email or fax. So that's the first step. Get that request in, then you will be getting a ballot packet. That packet's going to include instructions about exactly how to fill it out. There is a one witness requirement. Recently enacted law cut that down from two witnesses to one because they know people are pretty homebound these days because of the coronavirus, might only have one witness available. You get your witness, you get all the information in your ballot, and then and one county elections official pointed out to me, in Union County at least, they're going to include an I voted sticker because that's important to a lot of people who enjoy the process. And then you get your ballot filled out, And then again, you submit it either via mail, courier service, or drop it off in person.
So that's interesting and important to know. That request is not your ballot. You haven't voted yet. You're going to have to wait to receive
Absolutely.
Something and then go in a separate process. Well, Rusty, stick with us because I know there's lots more questions, but also questions about the security and what's happening to the Postal Service. Those now becoming great concerns. 7 mail sorting machines have reportedly been removed from a postal facility in Charlotte. Democratic Congresswoman Woman Alma Adams led a protest earlier this week calling for accountability from Postmaster General Louis DeJoy. DeJoy since issued a statement announcing that all proposed changes to the U.S. Postal Service will be suspended until after the November election.
Senator, I promise you we are not making any changes until after the election.
So that's Louis DeJoy today testifying before a Senate committee, reiterating his promise not to change things. Congresswoman Adams joins us to talk about this week's development. Congresswoman Adams, welcome to the State of Things.
Well, thank you very much. It's good to be with you.
Good to have you. What do you make of Louis DeJoy's promise?
Well, the damage has been done. I was watching CNN this morning and just learned that he's not going to readjust, meaning the changes that he's already made. He's not going to go back and correct them. And I'm disappointed about that. I did have an opportunity to visit the distribution center here in Charlotte. In other words, so they've moved these machines, they've made the adjustments, so the damage has been done. So for him to say, he's not going to make any changes. He's already made them. So if he intends and intended not to disrupt, then he needs to go back and correct those.
Is that any part of the agenda on the legislation that I understand you're on your way to Washington today because
That's
House
right.
Democrats are voting on a Postal Service bill tomorrow. So tell us more about that bill.
Well, what that bill does, and of course, Chairwoman Carolyn Maloney chairs the committee, and the bill that she prepared with assistance from others, but will basically ask that things be restored to the way they were in January 2020. There's also a request in that bill to put the funding that's needed that we actually had in the HEROES Act for the post office, because we do have, I think, a responsibility as Congress to assist in this process and make sure that our postal service continues to provide the service that our citizens need. It's a very popular organization. The Postal Service was established by the Constitution. It's a part of a promise that's made to all Americans that 55 cents, you can send a letter anywhere in the country, and that we need to continue that. But it's more than that. When you think about the issues that have been raised, the mail delivers critical documents, life-saving medications to our veterans, to our seniors, Social Security checks. It really helps our small businesses now. Particularly, though, in this pandemic, people are using the Postal Service more. But the president has handpicked this Postmaster General. I hear what he's saying, but I also see what he's doing. So I am not convinced. I think, again, we're too close to this election to have this election sabotage and things derailed as they appear to be.
Well, we received an email from a listener in Raleigh earlier today about her own local post office and some challenges there. And again, things that have already happened. This is a quote. I just want to share my experience with the post office near my house in North Hills. More than two months ago, the outside drive-up post boxes diminished from 4 boxes to 1. On several occasions, I drove up a single drop-off box, stuffed. You could hardly feel mail into the slot. I feared my mail would fall out or could easily be stolen. Parked my car, masked up, went to the post office to drop my mail and mentioned it to the employees. And they said that they needed more boxes. And I did not know that 2 months ago, this was a nationwide serious issue. How much of this is going on? And again, adding to the concern of voters that maybe their mail-in ballots might also be compromised.
Well, yes, the voters that we have a concern about that. And I think particularly now with the pandemic, people who may not want to go out, they're going to use the mail. I have heard that, and I haven't seen or I don't know of boxes that have been removed here in my district in Charlotte. But yes, that's got to be a problem. Why are they taking them up? I mean, it all looks so strategic to me, plan to make it difficult for people to even cast their ballot by mail.
I know you just finished touring your local mail facility in Charlotte. What did you see there?
Well, I didn't see, probably I didn't see what they probably didn't want me to see. But they talked to me about how they're doing things. I saw the sorting machines that they said that they have actually added, created a situation there now so that they can sort more mail. But I'm still questioning all of that. It was a lot of areas that were kind of closed off, and I didn't see a lot of workers there, but I understand you have more workers at night. But I also know that the changes that they have that they have made based on these, particularly the sorting machines, it did not appear when I asked questions that it was an internal decision, but that decision was one that was mandated. And so I understand that we want to have some uniformity, and of course, one thing that happens in one post office impacts the other. This post office here in Charlotte also handles mail for South Carolina. So I'm very suspicious about it. The fact that, yeah, they did tell me that there were seven machines that were actually, they used the term, they were putting them in a different area of the post office in the building. So they say that they're still in the building and they're going to continue to use them, but right now they're not. And I just believe that as we're becoming closer to this, to the election, November 3rd election, that we need to do everything that we can. Clearly, there's going to be an increase in the mail. We've had over 300,000 right now requests for absentee ballots across North Carolina. 300,000. About 40,000 or so of those are in my district. So 43,000, I think it is, somewhere in there, in requests in Mecklenburg. So that's an excessive amount. It's clearly more absentee ballots than have ever been requested. Right. So people are interested, and they want to make sure that they can't go to the polls, that they can vote by mail.
Well, let me put a couple more questions on the process to Rusty Jacobs, our politics reporter. A couple of questions that have come in. Number one, if people want to go to the polls and vote in person, Rusty, do you know if people will be turned away if they refuse to wear a mask or follow social distancing?
I don't actually know if they will be turned away. I doubt it. I mean, the elections officials at the county level, at the state level, all they want to do, their sole mission is to, keep access as wide as possible. I think that there will be elections assistants as young as 17 working at polls, asking people to wear masks. And I think that it's going to require some agreement and general consensus for doing what's best for the community.
One more quick question, Rusty. Does your ballot require extra postage to send in?
No, I don't want to misinform anybody. I believe it's handled through first class mail. So I do know postage is required, but that's, I, you know what? Maybe right. Congresswoman nope. Adams knows, but the last thing I'd want to do is misinform anyone.
I don't know if you know that, Congresswoman, or I'm sure the FAQ at the website will tell you how much you have to.
Well, I think the website will tell you that, but just as a precaution, I have always put two stamps on mine when I send mine, and so, better to be safe. But
check it out. We can't answer that one, but I'm sure it's on the website, and I appreciate your effort.
Absolutely.
Congresswoman Alma Adams, Democratic Representative of North Carolina's 12th District, Rusty Jacobs, WNC Politics Reporter. Thank you both for being on the program.
Thank you so much. You have a great day.
You too.
You're welcome, Frank.
North Carolina Public Radio is a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. I'm Frank Stachow.